tonight from James chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through verse number 8 tonight. And we've read these verses the last couple weeks, and we'll finish this section tonight. But James chapter 3, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Let's look at the tongue tonight, and our words, and how our words really are powerful and affect our lives and affect the lives of others around us. And why don't we pray as we begin? We thank you, Lord, for this night to pause and to take some time to look at your word and ask that you would speak to our hearts where needed. Would you convict, Holy Spirit, and move where needed? And again, thank you for the time to gather tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked in James chapter 3 about the danger of our words, as we looked in the first few verses about how it's described in some of the later verses about how dangerous it can be, as it is said in verse number 5, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And our tongue can be used for good or for bad, but it's talking about the danger. I don't know if you enjoy working with power tools, but if you work with power tools, you know how good and how dangerous they can be in just a moment. And we looked at several different examples here about putting bit in a horse's mouth or a great ship and these very great powerful things, but how deadly and dangerous they can turn in a moment if we're not careful, if we're not in control of guiding our tongue and our lives. So we looked at the danger of the tongue. We looked at the comparison of the tongue to a bit in a horse's mouth, of the small helm controlling the ship, and then comparing it to a wildfire as well. And the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, "In many things we offend all." We may not think that, but this is what God is saying. "In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So really what the Bible is saying here is the deciding factor for the control of our body and our lives is the tongue. Now, I don't believe that you'd be here on a Wednesday night for church if you didn't have some kind of a desire for God to control your life. Now, for some, they're okay with just living out of control, living their life, living by the flesh. That's a dangerous place to be, because our flesh will take us further than we ever thought it could take us at any moment, and that's for a saved or an unsaved person. But as a saved person even, we can be controlled by the flesh. A lost person only has one choice. They don't have a choice to be controlled by the Spirit because they're not saved, the Holy Spirit not living inside of them. But as a saved person, we can decide to be controlled by the Spirit, or we are naturally controlled by the flesh. Your flesh ever just take over? Your emotions, your spirit just ever take over in a situation and you just snap? That one thing that gets to you and you just take off and you go, how did this happen so quick? Because our flesh is wicked above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know what the Bible says? And if we can control our tongue, the Bible says you can be a perfect man. That doesn't mean without sin, but a righteous person led by God. And the Bible says, and able to bridle the whole body. As we look at verses 7 and 8, these are the verses we're going to focus on tonight. It says, "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. As we look at these verses, we're going to look at three descriptions of the tongue and how God compares our tongue to some areas if we don't understand by reading this chapter the danger and the power of the tongue, we're not letting God speak to us through the Word of God, right? And the Bible says, in verse number 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. You think about all the wild animals out there. You know, people that like have a tiger as a pet. I think eventually that tiger is not going to be your friend and it's going to eat you. I'm not going to say I told you so, but I'm going to think it maybe, all right? But people that have wild animals and they like have an alligator as their pet in their house, and I think it's going to eat you eventually. But all these animals that you can tame, that people will tame these wild animals, a lion or a bear and an alligator, snakes and all these things, you can tame these animals, wild animals and any kind of animal that can be tamed, but the tongue, the Bible says, can no man tame. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? You can tame a lion, but you can't tame your tongue. If you think of to be untamed is to restrain or to curb. Or to be untamed, that's to tame. To be untamed is not subdued, not brought under control. And our tongue, if it's unruly, as a wild animal would be, it is not brought under control. If we let our body, our mind, our eyes, our ears, if we let our body just be out of control, we're going to live by the flesh, and the flesh will take over. And you'll be a servant to sin. You'll be a servant to your flesh. We don't have to do that, but we could choose to do that if we want to. That wouldn't be wise. It talks about all these animals being tamed. You think about that. You see the, you know, orcas, killer whales, that they do tricks at SeaWorld, and they can be tamed. You think of a lion at a circus, monkeys going into space, dogs that can sniff out drugs and cancer and different things. I think the only unruly animal is a cat. That's my thought, though. Maybe you could tame it, but what's the point, all right? And they seem kind enough until they turn on you, right? Okay, so you cat people out there. But you can tame all these wild animals, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. The Bible says our tongue is untamed. And then secondly, our tongue is unruly. In verse number 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Unruly as cannot be restrained, not able to be controlled. Attempted to be controlled and restrained, but then there was no use. Maybe you have that dog, that pet, that you're trying to teach it, and it's not teachable, and it's unruly. Unruly is also disregarding restraint, ungovernable. We had a dog as a child. I'm not sure what the dog's name was, but my dad was notorious for picking up stray dogs and bringing them home. I don't think he ever paid for a pet. They were always strays from somewhere, and it would just show up at the house someday, and it was our family pet. And it was a beautiful dog. It was an Australian Shepherd, and it was beautiful white and gray and some browns and a long hair. And so we lived on a lot of property. This dog could not be restrained. If it was on a leash, it would find a way to get out of the leash, out of the neck harness, out of the leash. We'd put it in a crate, and somehow it'd find its way out of the crate. We'd put it in a pen, and it was a 6-7-foot-tall fence, and the dog would leap over the fence. It was no problem. And it was not able to be restrained, but it wasn't a bad dog. Exactly. We enjoyed the dog, but we just couldn't keep it under control. And we lived in property and in acreage and out in the country, and the dog must have come from a farm, a ranch, or something, because it liked to herd. And it liked to herd people's livestock. And so we had some neighbors that had some sheep or cows or something, and the dog would run over there and naturally just go start herding their animals. And they'd tell us, we'd bring the dog home and try to restrain it, and it would get out again and do the same thing. It was just in its nature, doing what it's supposed to do, but not to the neighbor's livestock. And it got to the point where the neighbor said, if you don't keep your dog from coming over here, we're going to shoot it. I don't know if that's exactly, but all I know is the dog was gone like immediately, and the dog could not be restrained, and that was the only thing that could be done with the animal. But you think about that in regards to our tongue, with our flesh, that if we let it get out of control and we don't govern it and restrain it and hold it back, how it gets out of control and starts damaging things all around, as it would be a wildfire, sparking a fire in one spot, and it becomes a wildfire because of our lack of control of our speech. So first of all, we see the tongue is untamed. Number two, it's unruly. And then number three, that it's poisonous. The Bible says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The poison referenced here is reference to a venomous snake. Now again, growing up on property, it may sound like we grew up like the Swiss Family Robinson, but we didn't. But lived on a lot of property, so there was a lot of snakes. It was very common to see snakes crossing the street or our sidewalks or driveway. I remember one day walking up the driveway with my bike, and I was this close to stepping down onto a baby rattlesnake, and I stopped just in time, backed away, and we called for my dad, and he'd kill it, bury it. And that was very common out there. And if you know anything about a rattlesnake, especially a baby, they release all their venom, and it can be very dangerous or even deadly if you're not very careful with that. And when it comes to our tongue, the Bible says our tongue is full of, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, even a little poison is a bad thing, right? I mean, I don't know if like a little bit of poison in a drink is okay with you, or if it's full of it. Either way, I don't want anything to do with it. But if we understand how unruly, untamed, and how poisonous our tongue can be, we would deal with that with extreme caution. If you were on poison, you'd maybe use gloves, a mask, you'd seal things up, you'd try to get everyone away, because it could be very dangerous to someone's health. And that's the same thing with our tongue, that it could be poisonous, that it could be deadly. The Bible says in Psalms 140, verse 3, it says, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is in their lips. May it not be said for us as Christians that we would use our tongues in a poisonous, dangerous, harmful way, using words that would hurt others. I'm going to go through a list of poisonous words or types of words that we could use that we're all capable of at any time. Poisonous words as of cursing. The Bible says in James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. As a Christian, there is no place for us to use cursing and evil words as the world would use. Poisonous words as to using God's name in vain. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. May we never use God's name lightly, using God's name as a curse word, using that as a poisonous word to come out of our mouth. Poisonous words of speaking of evil or sin. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. There should not be wickedness coming out of our mouth. Speaking of sin, of evil jokes and things that are not according to the word of God, it's poisonous words. Words of anger. In Psalm 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, to cease from anger. And what comes in the heart is going to come out in words of anger and hurt. And we live in a society that just is spewing out anger all the time. Such a hurtful, destructive society. Again, if I can hit it one more time, of social media, many times is a place where every opinion is spewed out on there. And maybe there's no name attached to it. There's no face behind it. And we can just put out there anything we want. And words of hate and of anger. Poisonous words of pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. May we not be prideful of ourselves, but to praise the Lord instead of praising ourselves, right? Words of pride. Poisonous words of gossip. In Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You say, well, the gossip came to me, so I had to go tell someone else. No, we don't. Would you pray with this matter, you know, pray for this matter with me? We're just gossiping about it. But words of gossip, poisonous words of lying words. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. May we be careful about our words. So quick we can be to let words slip out that are not godly, holy, controlled by the Spirit. May we be careful not to let out poisonous words. You look all through the Bible and you think of Korah as he spoke against Moses and tried to supersede his authority, and God opened up the earth, swallowed them up, and closed the earth. Man, I wouldn't speak anything against Moses at all. You know, God's going to open up the earth and take you alive. Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter, to the Holy Ghost, and God took their lives. Satan came before God and said, I will be like the Most High. Words of pride. Sometimes, as Christians, we look at sin, maybe not as God would look at sin. What I mean by that is we're not maybe doing X, Y, and Z in these areas, but lying lips, pride, hatred, those are things that God hates. And those are things that sometimes come out of our mouth. Peter cursed and denied Jesus Christ on the night of his crucifixion. Nebuchadnezzar in pride lifted himself up before God, and God smote him and made him live as an animal for 7 years. So many times we kind of justify our sin and we justify our words and we think, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was just a little white lie, you know, just a little white lie, not a big deal. You know, that's just how I was raised. That's just my spirit. I'm just an opinionated person. And so we excuse ourselves from sin where God does not excuse us, right? And we must look at the Word of God. Are we putting things out that are not holy and righteous and pleasing to God? So how do we control our words? In Matthew 15, verse 10, it says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. God said, not what goes in defiles a person, but what comes out. Now, what comes in out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, but when it comes out, that's defiling a man. While we can't fully tame the tongue, you say, well, it's unruly, it's untamed, it's poisonous. Well, I've lost the battle. I mean, that'd be the easy thing to do, wouldn't it? That's just the way I am. That's just my spirit. That's just how I react. Instead of asking for God to help us to tame and control the tongue, because the Bible says that really is the key to someone that is perfect and able to bridle the whole body. So how do we control our words? I want to give you a few thoughts tonight that the Lord would direct us on how to control our speech as we see how unruly, uncontrollable, how poisonous and deadly it could be. Number one, how do we control our words? Be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Again, you're going to be ruled by one or the other. And the choice is up to you, and the choice is up to me. Are you going to be led by the Spirit, or are you going to be led by the flesh? Are you going to be controlled by God, or are you going to be controlled by your sinful nature? The Bible says in Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May we before God say, God, would my words be acceptable in your sight? Because God hears and sees everything. And God is pure and righteous and holy. And when our words please God, you're right with God. And you're living in the Spirit. Moses, when he was being called by the Lord to go to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go, he argued with God that he couldn't do the job that God was calling him to do. You think about that for a minute. Arguing with God about what God has called you to do. I think God already knows the matter, but he was arguing with the Lord. And at the end of the argument, Moses said, you know, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. And the Lord finally got angry with him. He gave him enough patience and grace. And in Exodus 4, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Now listen to this now. And he says, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. He said, well, I can't speak well. He said, it's not about you. I'll be with you, and I'm going to teach you what to say. I'm going to tell you what to say, and I'm going to be with your words and with his words. In other words, saying you're going to be led by God with your speech. Every day and throughout the day, how can we be led by the Spirit? You got to walk with God. You have to crucify the flesh every single day and walk with God. You say, that's really the key to a lot of things in the Christian life. Yes, it is. When we open up God's Word and our flesh resists the Word of God and the working of God, and God said, I'm going to help to get some things right today. If you listen, if you'll be willing and you walk with God and you die to the flesh daily, as Paul would say, crucify the flesh. You walk with God and say, God, would you lead me today? Would you guide me today? Would you go before me? Would you move my hands? Would you move my mouth? Would you control my feet and my eyes and my ears today? Would you help and lead me today? Do you submit yourself to God each day? If you don't, guaranteed your flesh takes over. You ask God to help and control you and submit to God every day. See, I think that's one of the problems, because our pride says, well, God, I can do it on my own. And God says, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. And then finally, God's going to say, I told you couldn't do it. You go, God, I need your help. I know you do. All right, come back. Let's work on that. Submitting to God, saying, God, I can't do it on my own. And God helps you with that. Asking God to control you. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our flesh so quickly wants to take over, and you've got to restrain and hold back that unruly, that untamed spirit, and ask God to help to step forward into control. So number one, how do we control our words? By being led by the Spirit. Number two, be careful what you allow in. Be careful what you allow in. You ever said something and thought, I don't know where that came from, or someone else maybe. I don't know how that word slipped out. You think, oh, I don't know, but it's part of your day somewhere. Maybe, oh, it doesn't really affect me if I do whatever the case is. Be careful what you let in, because what goes in must come out. And so what comes in, it will come out. In Luke 6, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Be careful what you allow in. We are in a society where we are a consuming society when it comes to information and entertainment, and we are consuming stuff all the time. And if we think that's not affecting our thinking and our speech and our actions and our spirit, we're foolish, because the devil is controlling those things. I understand that some of those can be used for good and right, but the devil is always working to get his way in your life and in my life. Be careful what you allow in. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you spend time with. Be careful where you go. Everywhere you go, you are always learning and absorbing like a sponge, picking things up everywhere you go. And many times we repeat the things that we've seen or heard, and we do those in our lives. And then we go, where did that come from? God, I asked you to help me. And God said, well, I tried to help you, but you wouldn't turn it off. I tried to help you, but you wouldn't put it away. You spend time with people, it's going to come out. Be careful what you allow in, because what goes in is going to come out. And then thirdly, be slow to speak. How do we have a controlled spirit, tamed, not letting forth poisonous speech coming out of our mouth? Be slow to speak. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, that's not talking about being from the South, where it takes you a minute to say, hi, how are you today, and they like add syllables in there I didn't know was in words. I know they make fun of our speech out here on the West Coast as well, but be slow to speak. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says a time, there's different times in your life, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Being slow to speak doesn't mean don't speak at all, but slow to speak. There's a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. Wisdom is knowing what that time is. Being slow to speak. One of the hardest things you may ever have to say is nothing. You ever think about that? Sometimes the hardest thing is not saying anything at all. You know that person where you just want to call them and tell them exactly what you... Don't do it. That's not going to go well. You're going to feel better for a moment, and then the Holy Spirit is going to work on your heart and say, man, you really got them good, didn't you? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. It doesn't mean not speaking at all. It's speaking in a controlled, spirit-filled manner. In a controlled, spirit-filled manner. Not just letting the flesh just take off, speed off like a race car, you know, going on the racetrack, and then there's a crash at the end. In a controlled, spirit-filled manner. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Silent when the matter doesn't involve you, when you're not affixed to the problem, when the Holy Spirit doesn't give you direction in that area, being silent at that time, being slow to speak. I want to give you a few thoughts on this. Speak after praying. Speak after praying. Maybe there's a matter where you need to talk to someone. Bathe that subject in prayer before the time of speaking to them. Say, God, would you control it and help me? What? Maybe taking notes and saying, God, what would you want me to say? Put that down so that you speak in a controlled, biblical, spirit-filled manner. Speak after praying. Say, my heart's not right. What's the worst thing to do when you're angry? Start talking, because it's all coming out. Sometimes say, you know what? I need a minute. I'm going to the room. Take some time away from your spouse or your kids or the dog or whatever it is. Take a moment and get away and say, hey, Lord, control my speech and my spirit before I speak any further. Speak after praying. Speak after hearing a matter. Again, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly and shame unto him. Again, we are expert judges today because all the information's on the internet for us to know the full story. Or one of your kids comes to tell you part of the story and you know the whole story, right? No, speak after hearing the matter. And then again, speak after God's leading. May we speak of things that are right, speaking of God and His Word and things that are encouraging, not hateful and hurtful. In conclusion, tonight, are your words and your spirit constantly getting you into trouble? Are your words and spirit hurting or helping others? Are your words and your spirit constantly hurting or helping others? How about this? Are your words pointing others to Christ, or are they pointing others away from Christ? Are your words led by the Spirit, or are your words led by the flesh? Asking God to help to control your spirit and your words. And how does that start? With getting alone with God during the day. Asking God's help again in that matter where you need that help, and throughout the day, and getting things right with the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this night and for the word of God to help us, Lord, to control our speech. None of us have mastered it, but all of us, I pray, are working on that. Would you please help and guide us tonight? Be with the offerings we take it this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take an offering tonight, please.